Perhaps you've heard of Christopher Hitchens. He's an Englishman who's lived for the past many years in Washington, D.C., and he's one of the wittiest, most intelligent, insightful commentators on the political and societal scene. Hitchens began his career as a Trotskyite, a man of the extreme left, but after September 11th, he drifted quite a bit to the right, becoming a supporter of the Iraq War, and much to the chagrin of many of his colleagues on the left, he became a supporter of George W. Bush. So he's been for a long time just a very interesting, intelligent, somewhat unpredictable commentator on the cultural scene. But he's best known, undoubtedly, for his visceral hatred for religion. He's emerged as one of the most, witty and acerbic and intelligent critics of religion on the scene today. His book from a few years ago called God is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything, became a bestseller. And in the wake of that book, Hitchens has been traveling the world, largely around this country, debating all comers, including a lot of religious thinkers, Christian and Jewish and Muslim, and meeting them with an extremely sharp mind and often a very barbed tongue. He's joined the ranks of Daniel Dennett and Sam Harris and Richard Dawkins as one of the four horsemen of the new atheism, this movement that has kind of a take-no-prisoners approach to religion. I've been engaging them, as you know, on some of these YouTube commentaries for the past many years. I think it's fair to say that Hitchens has emerged as the Bertrand Russell of today. Russell, about a century ago, another very brilliant Englishman, was the public enemy number one of religion. And I think it's fair to say Hitchens is sort of sitting now in the Bertrand Russell chair of opposition to religion. Well, I've been reading him for a long time and engaging him, you know, intellectually. And just a few weeks ago, I picked up his latest book, which is his memoir. It's called Hitch 22. And it's a book that's like Hitchens. It's witty. It's brilliant. It's infuriating. It's insightful. It's baffling. And it's never dull. So it reflects very much his own personality, his own style. I'll tell you, one thing that really struck me in this book was Hitchens' great affection for two of my own literary heroes, namely Bob Dylan and Evelyn Waugh. Hitchens says something that I've said for a long time, but most people just write me off as a Dylan, you know, nut. He said Bob Dylan should be mentioned with T.S. Eliot and W.H. Auden as one of the really great poets of the 20th century. I thought, wow. Anyway, I said that, but no one takes me seriously. Well, there's Christopher Hitchens that says it. But also, Evelyn Waugh. Of course, Waugh is the famous novelist and one of the most consistently religious thinkers around. And of course, the same is true of Bob Dylan. You can't appreciate Bob Dylan, it seems to me, without appreciating how deeply biblical he is, as I've explained in other videos, from beginning to end of his career. I mean, from Hard Rain's Gonna Fall through Blowing the Wind up to All Along the Watchtower to Gotta Serve Somebody to Every Grain of Sand, Bob Dylan is just immersed in the Bible. And, you know, Waugh writes Brideshead Revisited, which is, I think, the greatest Catholic novel of modern literature. So it just struck me as really interesting. Here's the most outspoken, brassiest atheist around, and yet he deeply appreciates these two very biblical, very religious figures. So that thought was in my mind when I heard a few weeks ago, along with the rest of the world, that Hitchens is suffering from esophageal cancer, which is one of the most aggressive and unforgiving forms of the disease. So I'm reading his autobiography, and I'm thinking about his interesting juxtaposition when I discover this fact. Now, I know some believers took a certain delight in this and even saw in it the avenging hand of God. Here's this figure who for so long has been attacking religion. Well, God has gotten his vengeance by giving him cancer. Well, that kind of reading of God's providence, I think, is always dicey business. Let's face it, a lot of really good, even saintly people die young of terrible diseases, and many atheists and even vile sinners live long, productive lives and die peacefully in their beds. So, I mean, how we read what God is up to, I think, is always a little bit tricky. Is Hitchens' cancer ingredient somehow in God's providence? Yeah. Because God's wisdom, as the Bible says, stretches from end to end mightily, concerns all things. At least in His permissive will, God has permitted this to happen. Now, why? To bring Hitchens maybe to faith? Maybe. To bring other people to faith? Possibly. To compel Hitchens to think more deeply about things he hasn't thought about? Maybe. Some good, some value that we can't even in principle see now? Probably. Reading God's providence is a very difficult business, even as we see things as ingredient in it. Now, here's the thing, though. Though there were a handful of believers, I think, who were taking a certain delight in Hitchens' misfortune, what really edified me as I looked at the Catholic blogosphere and read Catholic writers and columnists, the vast majority said to their readers, pray for Christopher Hitchens. Pray for him. And with obvious sincerity. And here they're on much firmer ground. Because, of course, Jesus himself said, pray even for your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who maltreat you. Love your enemies. Is Hitchens the enemy of Christianity? Yes. Is he the enemy even of many Christians? Yes, indeed. But he's a child of God. Made in love, destined for eternal life. And so though he's a great opponent of Christianity, though he's an enemy of Christianity, ought we to love him and want the best for him and pray for him? Yes. Now, over the years, he's engaged, I think, in some very specious argumentation against religion, sometimes using insinuation or just smear tactics to badmouth religion. Ought he to be opposed? Yes, and I've opposed him. Go on my other YouTube videos. We ought to meet him with strong argumentation. We ought to meet him with clear statement of the facts. And we ought to love him. And we ought to pray for him. You know what comes to mind here is another hero of mine, G.K. Chesterton. Chesterton, back in the 1910s and 20s, went all over England with George Bernard Shaw, the great playwright, and they debated religion. Chesterton is a great Catholic apologist. Shaw was an atheist. And they debated up and down England, often in very vigorous ways, and sometimes in sharp, you know, exchanges. But invariably, after the debates, you could find Chesterton and Shaw at some pub drinking and laughing. They were great friends. And Chesterton was able to bracket his intellectual disagreement and say, but I still love this person as a human being. That, to me, is a great model of how Catholic apologetics ought to work and how we ought to make that good distinction between opposing someone's ideas and loving that person. So I would say, read Christopher Hitchens. I would say, argue with him. I would say, take on his specious positions and pray for him.